When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Everybody jump, 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 jump. Yes. Good Tuesday morning to one and all. Taz of the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocky Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Mike and Pete across the way to the side at the controls. Bogish with your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time we go. Good Tuesday, one and all. I know, Taz, you were working yesterday. You and Bogus did a show.
Yes.
I'm sure it went brilliantly.
It went great. And we, everybody else, we had Labor Day, which is nice. We worked. We had post-production meetings, as you know. We were here for hours afterwards. But it's fine. The show went great.
Commitment.
We missed you. We missed you very much.
I missed you as well.
You know, our audience missed you. So, but we're back together in the saddle. You're driving the motorcycle. I'm in a little sidecar. What we got going on here.
Stop. We're taking it right up until 9. We're going to talk a little fantasy football a little later on in the program with Jeremy Eisenberg, who's going to join CBS Sports. Jamie Eisenberg, fantasy football insider for CBS Sports, will join us a little later on in the program. A lot to get into, Taz.
And yes, sir.
We'll get into the Taz of the Moose fantasy football draft order, which you guys did yesterday.
Yeah.
And if you were active on social media, you saw that posted all over the place, which was great. We'll get into that here in a little bit. But the NFL season right around the corner, getting going in a couple days on Thursday night. Bears
fired
and Packers.
Fired up. Yeah. Nice way to start with a old school NFC smash mouth, two teams and the Packers and the Bears. I mean, it's not as smash mouth as it was back years ago before there was artificial turf and field turf. But I'm showing my age. But anyway, no, it's great. It's great. NFL's here. I mean, we're getting ready to rock and roll. I'm excited. I know you're excited, so we're pumped.
Yeah, it'll be good and they don't really, grab the headlines in terms of not yet. I mean, we'll get into it in terms of the opener and everything and the like. And we're going to have NFL picks a little later on in the week. College picks, obviously, a little later on in the week. And the like, Taz. But, as we ramp up to the start of the NFL regular season, I'm sure you guys went through, a lot of the surprising moves that were made over the weekend in terms of the guys that were cut loose. Josh Doctson from the Redskins, a first-round draft choice, now a member of the Minnesota Vikings. LeSean McCoy from your Bills, even though the Bills kept on telling you that he was going to be part of the team, cut loose, and he ends up back with Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. Does LeSean McCoy, and they add a veteran piece to that running back backfield. And some of the other big moves in terms of Jadeveon Clowney getting traded. You were on top of that, getting traded to the Seattle Seahawks. They don't really get all that much back to the Houston Texans. A third-round pick and a couple of serviceable players to the Houston Texans back in return for Jadeveon Clowney. And then they make the big move with the Miami Dolphins acquiring Laremy Tunsil, the left tackle, who's a top 10 tackle in the league, but they pay for him like he's the number one tackle in all of the National Football League.
I know. It really is. It's something. I mean, it's something. And Andrew and I did go over a lot of these moves for sure, as you nailed. It is crazy. I mean, especially this whole the Texans thing, and this is what we were saying. I was saying, yesterday, it's like it's a head scratch of what's going on with Bill O'Brien, what they're doing there. I would assume this, it's messy, so I would assume there's some sort of a logical reason behind what they're doing, Clowney is just, and you and I have talked about Clowney for the past couple of weeks. I had a feeling he wasn't going to be there, okay? I had a feeling he was going to get moved. But what the Texans are doing, Moose, maybe you can figure it out because I can't. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I like Tunsil's a hell of a tackle, no doubt about it. I mean, and now Miami gets Julian Davenport, who's a tackle, who was on the Texans, who was not a very good tackle, okay? He was a first-round pick a couple of years ago out of Bucknell to Texans. And I believe, I'm not looking at the numbers, but I believe he gave up the most sacks out of all tackles last season.
Yeah, he wasn't very good.
No.
I mean, he wasn't very good, right? So, I mean, they get a quarterback, you mentioned. They get Davenport. They get a first-round pick in 20, first-round pick in 2021, and a second-round pick in 21 as well. The Houston Texans get a fourth-round pick in 20, a sixth-round pick in 21, Kenny Stills and Laremy Tunsil. you know, Taz, the way that I look at it, if you're a desperate team and you've got a quarterback in Deshaun Watson that you had an impossible time protecting, and you want to make sure that he doesn't get battered once again, and you've not been able to correctly identify or rectify that situation in the offseason, and you find out that a guy like Tunsil, who's still on the rise as an offensive tackle, is available. Desperate teams sometimes pay desperate prices, and right. That's exactly what they paid to the Miami Dolphins. They paid a king's ransom for the guy that, he's a really good player. I mean, Tunsil can play.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. He came over, he got over the whole gas mask bong scenario at the NFL draft, which caused him to drop in the NFL draft. A lot of people thought he would go a lot higher than he did. Teams were skewed away from him after that picture and video came out. Taz. So, I mean, the idea that for the Texans now, though, I look at a team that looks at their championship window as being open. I mean, if you look at your championship window as being open, would you trade a couple first-round draft choices to try and win a Vince Lombardi trophy? You probably would, right?
I guess, yeah. What'd they give up? 2021, you were saying, a first-rounder, the second round of 2020.
Two first-round picks and a second-round pick.
Two first, right. So,
a tackle who struggled last year in a corner.
I mean, I guess you're saying you're all in. That when you're doing that, you're the Texans, you're trying to win now. I don't know. To me, it's tough. The Clowney thing's tough. Clowney, I know he's going to Seahawks.
Well, the Clowney trade, they didn't get enough value back in return.
Right. Yeah, so that
I agree with you there.
Perplexed.
So, right, no, I got you. I thought it was more so the Tunsil move than the Clowney move. I mean, the Clowney move, it seemed like they just wanted to get rid of Jadeveon Clowney.
Right.
And they got a third-round draft choice where a team understood that they're going to have to pay him following this season. He's going to have to get a lot of money. I thought they'd get a lot more back in return for Jadeveon Clowney.
Me too.
I don't disagree with you there. I don't think they nearly got enough. And that's the aspect of it that you'd be a little bit infuriated by if you were a Texan fan, is that you didn't get enough for Clowney back in return, but you overpaid for Laremy Tunsil.
Right. Right, because of the picks and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, remains to be seen. I would assume that Bill O'Brien and the front office staff, that these are smart enough people that they have a method to what they're doing, and they have a, I don't know. If I was a Texans fan, I would not be exactly doing backflips over this. Me, just personally, I wouldn't. I mean, look, getting rid of Davenport as far as that offensive tackle spot to protect Watson, and you get Tunsil, no doubt. Great, great move there. Excellent, and I know the whole bong thing, but it seems like that's a thing in the past, and someone's trying to sabotage him when he was coming out of school and all that jazz. That's kind of like, whatever. That happened, it's old news. But this guy's redeemed himself, in essence. He's done a good job, Laremy Tunsil. And now with the Texans, I do think he's going to do a good job there. Kenny Stills, getting him too, that's another decent move. I think Stills is a good receiver.
Yeah.
He was a good player for the Dolphins, for sure. But again, I guess maybe I didn't make it so clear at the top of this segment. It was more the Clowney thing that was confusing to me. So,
well, but they didn't have, I mean, at the base of it, Taz, they didn't have leverage in either situation.
Right, right, true.
I mean, Clowney wasn't signing the franchise tender. They were out of the window here, is where you're probably not going to have, in all likelihood, you might not have the player the entire year. Or you decide to move him, right? Because he's not going to sign the tender for you. He gave you two teams that he'd be willing to go to. One of those teams being the Seattle Seahawks, the other one being the Philadelphia Eagles, right? So you trade him out of the AFC, you trade him to the NFC. They didn't have leverage there. They wanted to probably in all likelihood trade him to Miami, and Tunsil probably would have been a part of that deal coming back, and that would have been a clean move for them as for the Houston Texans, but he made it perfectly clear he had no interest in going to Miami. So if you got no interest in going to Miami, you're not going to have the player. The player's probably not going to play for you this entire year. Then you're looking at do you want to deal with that headache all year long, or do you want to unload him? I'm not telling you that they got enough back in return, but they also didn't have a great leverage in that situation either, because they were not going to call Jadeveon Clowney's bluff. They were not going to say, all right, well, let's see you hold out for the entire year.
Right.
It seemed like as an organization, they want to get rid of the headache.
Right. Well, you make a really good point about the leverage thing with the Texans. That's true. They didn't have the leverage with Clowney. I mean, the thing is, though, like, to me, that's a very impactful thing, not just because of how good of a defensive player Clowney is, as a rush end and a guy who can cause a lot of havoc when he's on. Like, you know, he's been banged up. We know that with his knee and all that stuff when he came to the league out of South Carolina. The thing is, though, J.J. Watt, this makes things tighter on J.J. Watt on that defensive line. This makes the blocking scheme.
No doubt.
You know, that's the thing I'm concerned about.
No, of course. I mean, Taz, I don't disagree with you, but they also trade a guy that some people question his passion for the game, right? Whether or not football is his number one driving force in his life and his clowning,
right?
Because, and there are a number of guys that that's the case.
Sure,
where,
there are. Yeah.
Where, you know, they play the game because it's what they do, but
yes,
it's not exactly the thing that drives them on a day-in, day-out basis, right? A little bit of a mercurial guy. He's got a little bit of a, you know, kind of a, you know, a different type of personality. Not saying he's a bad guy.
Right,
I'm just telling you that,
right.
You know, he can ruffle some feathers with certain people and teammates and coaches and the like. So, and people question that coming out of South Carolina, and what you've seen him so far as a pro is, at times you're right, he's been a really disruptive force. He's a good two-way, you know, edge rusher, linebacker, defensive end, but, you know, he's very good at stopping the you know, and playing the run. You know, he's never had double-digit sacks over the course of his career. He's never done that. His high watermark is 9.5 sacks. So if you're the Houston Texans, you're going to play, you know, look at all that and give him the kind of money that he is looking for, or you're going to say, all right, it's an offensive-driven league. We're good enough defensively, but we've got a special player at the quarterback spot, and say, well, where would we rather invest? We've had a damnedest time trying to find an offensive line to protect Deshaun Watson. So they're in a situation where the Texans are. I'm going to tell you, they handled everything perfectly, but they didn't have leverage in Clowney, and they didn't have leverage in trading for Laremy Tunsil either, because the Miami Dolphins are in basically strip it down, get down to the nuts and bolts. We're going to rebuild it. They've got top, you know, first and second round picks in the top two rounds, I believe, in the next three NFL drafts. So they're looking at a situation of building it from the ground up, and they have the Texans calling, who they know is desperate for offensive line help. And they're going to say, well, if you want Laremy Tunsil, it's going to cost you this.
Mm.
And the Texans say, well, our championship window is now. We've got an opportunity to win. Luck is out of the league. The Patriots are getting older.
Right.
The Steelers are not as dynamic offensively.
Mm.
You look at the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid never wins a big-time game. This is our opportunity to try and win before our quarterback gets killed, because you can't have your quarterback getting hit the amount of times that Deshaun Watson's getting hit.
No doubt. And to me, it's amazing, not to smash Davenport any more than I have already. Nothing against the kid, but it's just that he I don't know how he kept his spot there for the past couple of years at that starting spot. There are a lot of people perplexed, you know, coming out of a Patriot League school, that he should be a first round pick. You know, it's different when you're blocking defensive linemen, you know, from Colgate and Navy and stuff like that, and Lehigh, than when you're playing against some of the bigger programs. And I'm not a big time D1 snob type guy, but I'm just saying that's where I was a little perplexing with Davenport, but it did cause a problem for sure as far as pressure on Watson. Now it seems like maybe they nipped that in the bud, the Texans.
Yeah, well, that's what you hope. I mean,
I hope for them.
Right. Well, I agree with you, Taz. I would think if you make that move, I think they have. But if you don't, and Tunsil, say, struggles with the Texans, then it's a disaster.
Right. True.
You're making that move for Laremy Tunsil to be kind of your franchise tackle for the next 7 to 9 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And
if he isn't, and you don't have initial success, and he steps in year one as a Texan, Taz, and he struggles, then the trade's a downright disaster, a big-time disaster.
Yeah, because he's, to your point, he's the key to that deal. Okay, he's the guy. He's the guy you're hoping to protect Watson. He's the guy, and if that falls apart, that's not good.
Right, and then you look at the Stills situation, Taz. You know, the Miami Dolphins, when Stills was outspoken during the course of the offseason, you know, about, you know, his owner and the relationship with the president, and then they're talking about what songs are being played, Jay-Z and this and that. You knew Kenny Stills was not long for the Miami Dolphins or Brian Flores. I mean, that they don't want to, you know, it's not a case of right or wrong. It's a case of not wanting to deal with distractions. Nobody wants to deal with the headache. Nobody wants, the coaches want to minimize that. They want guys focused on football. Mm. They want to try and minimize the outside distractions. They don't want guys talking about stuff that's outside of football for the most part. It's, you know, maybe TV show, movies, one thing, but they don't want heavy topics like politics and who's supporting who. So, You knew Kenny Stills once all that came out, Taz. And I'm like, he's a good guy, and he's going to be a good teammate down in Houston. Nothing wrong with that. But when Kenny Stills stepped outside the box a little bit and was outspoken, you knew his days probably as right. the Miami Dolphin were numbered.
Yeah, that's him basically. Yeah, you're right. And that's kind of when players do that, especially when a coach inherits that player. And that's what happened when Flores came in. You know what I mean? He was the DC with the Pats. And he comes in as the head man, you know, for the head coach for the Dolphins. You know, when you inherit guys, it's not just in college. When kids get recruited by a certain coach in whatever sport, and here comes a new coach, you got to worry if you're that kid. Like, oh God, this guy didn't recruit me. It's the same thing in the NFL. These coaches are coming. A new head coach comes in. He's inheriting a player. You know that, and no matter how good or bad the guy is, you hope that they click on a personal standpoint and an ability standpoint. So, you know, I mean, it remains to be seen how that works out there with
I think Stills is going to be a good player down in Houston.
I think he'll be pretty good.
I think you throw him in as being kind of the stretch the field, deep threat. That's what he has been, whether it be with New Orleans or Miami and now with the Houston Texans. I think Stills will be fine down there. And what the Texans have done here with these two moves basically have gone all in on their quarterback, Deshaun Watson, and they should. I mean, he's that kind of caliber of player, and they want to make sure try and keep him as healthy as they possibly can.
And offensively, you know, and the running back spot with Duke Johnson now, you know what I mean? That's a good deal. You know, at the receiver spot, Edens, you got Stills, you got Hopkins there, you got Cote there. You know, you got some good player, Fuller. You know, so, you know, I'm kind of getting sold here on the Texas a little bit.
Well, and here's the deal with Fuller.
As I'm thinking about the roster.
Fuller's a hell of a player, never stays healthy.
Right.
Fuller goes down to injury, now you have more depth in that receiving core, should that be the case. And Fuller's also coming off, a torn ACL from a year ago, too.
Right.
So here's Bill O'Brien. We talked about the fact that he didn't get enough for Jadeveon Clowney. Here's the head coach of the Houston Texans said Houston got enough. Take a listen.
There were a lot of talks that took place. There were contract proposals between, you know, the player and us that we just couldn't come to an agreement on, you know, relative to the franchise tag. You know, the spirit of the franchise tag is to try to, give yourself more time to possibly come to an agreement on a long-term contract. We couldn't come to that agreement. We had several discussions with many teams over many months, and we feel like we made the best decision for the team.
Here is Bill O'Brien talking about the additions they've made to their roster.
Feel really good about being able to get a proven left tackle to protect Deshaun Watson. They're hard to draft. They're hard to develop. Laremy Tunsil's an excellent player who was here, you know, last night, yesterday afternoon, in here right now, meeting with Mike, a really good guy, and it's been good getting to know him over the last, you know, let's just call it 36 hours.
Yeah, I mean, so, and we mentioned before, Tunsil was well-liked, absolutely beloved down there in Miami. So there were reports last week, Taz, and we touched upon it, that there would be a player revolt down there in Miami should they get rid of Laremy Tunsil. Let's look at it from another perspective. How about Seattle's perspective, Taz? We'll get more into the impact of the trade with them, you know, during the course of the program. But here's Pete Carroll talk about the addition of Jadeveon.
He's a rare football player. He's got special skills that most guys just don't have. Quickness, his reaction time, his the length that he can use, his ability to run, his instincts. See, he's made a lot of plays in the backfield over the years, you know, and instinctive plays penetrating and getting and causing problems. And we plan to allow him to do that in our scheme, and it'll fit really well with what we're doing.
And Clowney's certainly happy to be a Seahawk.
I was like, Dwayne, how you like it up there? He called. I was like, bro, what you think? He's like, you need to come play with us. You know, you'll love it here. Great weather. It's not hot like Houston. Great fan support. Other great teammates on this team. And come be a part of something great. And I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to try to look into that and try to get up there with you guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Seahawk fan has got to be fired up. Those 12s. I mean, now you add him into that atmosphere, Taz, where the crowd noise is unbelievable, where that helps you as a defensive player off the snap as well.
Sure.
Because usually offensive linemen are a little bit of a beat slow coming off the snap.
Mm-hmm.
That helps you if you're Clowney getting after it. You know you're going to attack. The Seahawks decided, obviously, to part ways with Frank Clark in the offseason. He's now a member of the Kansas City Chiefs as he got a big-time long-term deal with KC. And now they add Jadeveon Clowney, who, if there's a place for, as a defensive player, edge rusher to go to succeed, it's Seattle.
And you make a really good point, man, about the 12th man there in Seattle in the stadium there. and it's so loud, and it's such an advantage for the D line, for you know, to catch that offensive line off, you know, off guard, or to throw them off a little bit because it's so loud they can't hear quarterback cadences and stuff like that. But yeah, I think this is a really good move for the Hawks, for the Seahawks for sure. Getting Clowney sitting there on a pretty good defensive line with some good linebackers in KJ Wright and Wagner and stuff and Griffin. They, you know, they're trying to build up that defense back. Remember, I mean, it's not Legion of Boom days, but still, I mean, Pete Carroll knows, and they're trying to build that thing up, man.
And no doubt about it. They just did. The expectations for Seattle, if they change, we'll get into that. Plus, we'll get to your calls. If you're on the line, hang in there. If you're a Texan fan, fired up about the moves, disturbed, bothered by the trades, want to hear from you, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We're just getting going. We'll get into the draft results, the fantasy football. The first round draft order results.
Just go right to the first. We'll just hit the first one. We'll be done.
What does that mean?
I lost. That's what that means. I lost already. The season didn't even start. I'm pissed.
How did you lose? You're in the middle of the first round.
Listen,
we'll get into it.
I'll tell you on the other side of the break. That's what I'll tell
you.
You
did not lose. Stop.
A little hook. A little hook.
Taz of the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Listen to CBS Sports Radio with the Radio.com app. Free and available in the Google Play and iTunes App Store. Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
That's right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
Yeah, I was talking about the Texans, Houston Texans, talking about the whole situation with Clowney and stuff like that. Heading up to Seattle. Let's go out to Houston, Texas, and speak to Joseph. Listen on SiriusXM 206. Joe, what's up? Your own Taz and the Moose. Joe.
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Good morning.
Good morning. What's going on, Hoss? How are you there?
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's going on, buddy?
Man, I'm waking up to some good news. Finally, the Texans making a move and doing something. Hey, I'm wondering why didn't we know about this months ago when Clowney was out looking for it? Was this just brought to light recently, or you know, what's Bill O'Brien doing? Basically, because I still don't trust the guy. I love my Texans, but I don't trust Bill O'Brien.
Well, I mean, we played a cut from O'Brien, said they were hopeful to sign Clowney to a long-term deal. That window opened and closed. He did not want to come back and play on the franchise tender. And then, you know, they had multiple conversations with multiple teams. I mean, to the point where he's, you know, visiting with the Miami Dolphins, meeting up with their brain trust was Clowney. He didn't want to go there. Reportedly, it was the Eagles or the Seahawks would be the two teams he was most intrigued by. The Jets called the Texans. There were five teams. They reportedly were in conversations with Houston about Jadeveon Clowney, and he ends up in Seattle.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm happy. Kenny, I think, is a good adjustment, you know, to help out with Watson. Watson's, you know, the key to this. And JJ's definitely going to have his work cut out for him, but I think he can pull his own weight, and I think it's been proven that way. So.
Well, yeah, it has. But I agree with you to a degree, I should say, Joe. Because the thing is, like I was saying to Moose earlier, man, I don't know. I'm a little concerned for your Texans D line wise with JJ because all that attention was shared. The attention was shared from offensive linemen and blocking schemes between JJ and Clowney.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now a lot of attention is going
to
be on what?
What are they going to do to put him back in that spot? I mean, did they do anything as far as to recoup another position for that side of the line? I mean, JJ looked like Grock last year with all the RoboCop stuff going on. I mean, let's be
sure. Giant elbow pads and all the gear on him. Yeah,
exactly.
He's been banged up. Well, they got Angelo Blackston. He's on the other defensive end spot, and behind him they got Carlos Watkins. So, those are like a who's who. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know, dude.
Well, I mean, Merciless will help. I mean, he could get after the quarterback.
That's true. He's good. I forgot
all about him. Everybody always forgets about Merciless.
He's a good player.
Yeah. I think he's going to help him out on that end.
That's a good point.
He'll be strong on the left side, right?
I mean,
the one thing that you look at it is that they've decided to bank on the offense more so than anything else. That they realize
that's what they should do, I think. You know, they shouldn't do the same thing they did to Luck, right? And I had called in previously about Luck, I think I was talking to my buddy about it. I apologized about the way that ended with Luck. But it does open up the door for us, and now that they've made these moves, I think the Texans actually are stronger than the Jaguars and the others.
Yeah, well, I mean,
all right, thank you.
You got it.
Thank
Joseph,
you.
Thanks a lot for the call,
thank
bud.
You, I think he was saying thank you to someone else.
I think that's he was. Right. Maybe he was getting gas.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
But, thank you.
But here, I would say it's interesting he brings up the Colts because it's probably a learning lesson and the impact realized and the amount of hits that that their quarterback Watson took a year ago, Taz, and realizing, you know, the long-term impact. I mean, it could have impact short-term, but also the long-term impact it could have on the player.
Sure.
Where you completely shorten the career and say, well, what are we doing here? We've done a terrible job of building this offensive line. It has regressed for a number of different reasons. We've got to do whatever we can do to possibly strengthen this thing up so he does not take the amount of hits that he takes now. Watson's also going to help out the cause, too. He has a tendency to hold the football way too long. He's waiting for plays to develop down the field, secondary and tertiary routes off their initial route tree. So that's also got to – he's got to know when to hold it and when to get rid of it. But what you don't want to have happen at times last year was almost like a jailbreak to Deshaun Watson, where he was getting absolutely drilled in the backfield.
Yeah, he was. And he's your investment, right? So Deshaun Watson – he's your guy. He's your guy. You put all your money in if you're the Texans. He's your real investment. So, you know, protecting him with a guy like Tunsil is a big move, and it's a smart move. That I agree with. And adding some help there with Duke Johnson to the running game helps and stuff like that. Because, you know, he's the type of guy that if there's a blitzing backer and he's pass blocking, he's talented enough and mature enough to pick up a blitz, to protect Watson. A lot of people don't think about that. That's very important when you have younger backs there. But a guy like Duke, he'll do that. You know?
Well, he does. And now he's in the prime spot to be kind of the guy. Not kind of, but the guy down in Houston with the Lamar Miller torn ACL.
Yeah, shame that happened in that last preseason game against the Cowboys, I think it was. I was actually watching and I saw that hit. It was nasty. I think it was the first or second play of the game. How sad is that, man? That sucked for that kid.
Yeah, really. It's terrible. Yep. It really is. Now, and he is obviously lost for the year, but now presents opportunity for Duke. 855-212-4CBS. We'll get to the impact on the Seattle Seahawks as well. But look who's in the house. What's going on, Andrew?
Moose.
Good morning.
Wow, well, we're in the same color. We're both wearing green. Look at this, Moose.
Yes, you guys match.
This is Gotham green in honor of the Jets.
This is emerald green. This is something that happened yesterday. Moose, yeah. It was pretty funny.
The Green Goblins.
Well, there was a little. That's a good tag team. If I was going to pick a tag team partner, Andrew, you'd be the last one I'd look for.
Very smart of you.
Yes.
Yeah,
so that's
I would agree.
So what happened yesterday?
No, we were talking
about wearing green today.
Yeah, no.
I remember how he got on
I'll
the Jets uniform.
I remember everything. You know me because James, the man who was producing yesterday, very nice guy.
Right.
James is a big Jets fan. The gentleman who produced yesterday, and he was
did
wearing
a great
Jet
job,
hat.
By the way.
Yeah, and he did. And then what happens is he was telling me, James Moose, that the Jets color was a. He was trying to tell me that. The actual color, the Pantone
color.
He said
Kelly green, he said like emerald
and
green.
And then you know me, and I'm like,
oh,
well.
With the colors.
Yeah, exactly. And then that was a five-minute combo.
That's
and
like your wheelhouse.
Exactly.
Colors.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Pantone
and then,
256.
You, exactly. And I explained it was an emerald green.
Oh.
Emerald green, not a forest or a Kelly
right,
green.
So J-E-T-E, Jets, S.
He did.
So were going through all the different
That's
colors.
That's just one time he stepped out of his comfort zone.
Oh, there you go.
Went well, though, yeah. So, the whole color conversation. Next thing you know, Andrew and I are both wearing green today.
Oh, very nice. Look at that.
It's kind of all
leads to another.
Weird.
Deep
the
connection goes.
Very cool.
I guess so.
It was not the start.
Somewhere James is smiling.
Well, or sleeping. Anyway.
Probably sleeping.
You know what he's not doing is pushing a podcast down our throats.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And so it begins.
Yeah, good to see you too, Andrew.
It was not the start to its season Notre Dame wanted. Down 14-7 at Louisville last night. Those Cardinals debuting new head coach Scott Satterfield after last season's 2-10 disaster. Specifically, Irish QB Ian Book was struggling until the third quarter.
Ian Book from the shotgun. Claps for the ball. Play action. Drops straight back over the middle. Has Tommy Tremble at the 2. Touchdown Notre Dame.
That's Paul Burmese.
Did you record that on your iPhone from your den?
It's a fair question. We've discussed this before as we pull the curtain back. We've had some technical issues in our newsroom, and I think this morning I've decided that my computer might be part of the problem.
Oh, wow. Nah.
So we're working on that. For nice. Now, okay. That it was, in some form, Paul Burmeister on the Fighting Irish Radio Network.
Third it's Burmeister.
What did I say?
Meester. Burmeister. It's Burmeister.
Okay.
It's not Burmeister.
And we're back. Third of three consecutive TDs from Notre Dame spanning halftime. They won at Louisville 35-17. Book finished 14-23, 193 yards and a score while running for 81 and a TD. He's off the hook for now, says head coach Brian Kelly.
We're not going to beat him with a shoe. I mean, it's one game.
So that's good news. Notre Dame now has 18 days to get ready for a trip to Georgia with a visit from New Mexico in between. From the pros, the Colts cementing their QB position for now. Starter Jacoby Brissett reportedly gets a fresh two-year, $30 million contract. He's guaranteed $20 million at signing. Veteran Brian Hoyer signs on to back him up. The Patriots re-signing veteran receiver Demaryius Thomas after placing rookie wideout N'Keal Harry on injured reserve. And Washington head coach Jay Gruden says he's now numb to Trent Williams' holdout. Gruden has, quote, no expectation whatsoever of the left tackle returning to the team. Jock Peterson got the Dodgers rolling early yesterday against the Rockies.
And the 0-2 from Lambert is a fly ball right center field. It's deep, it's on its way, and it's gone. Jock Peterson, it's his 29th. And his seventh leadoff home run of the year.
That is Charlie Steiner on Dodgers Radio. Peterson homered again. His team went deep seven times total in a 16-9 decision over the Rockies. In the afternoon, the Cardinals stayed hot, 3-1 over the Giants. That's 10 wins in 12 tries for St. Louis. They stay three games ahead of the Cubs atop the NL Central. Over on AL grass, the Indians dropped the White Sox 11-3, but the Twins beat the Tigers 4-3 in the afternoon, so Minnesota stays 5.5 games clear atop the AL Central. Rafael Nadal, four-set win over Marin Cilic in the fourth round of the U.S. Open last night. American Taylor Townsend lost in three sets to Canadian Bianca Andreescu. Roger Federer and Serena Williams play their quarterfinals tonight in Arthur Ashe Stadium. And the U.S. men play Turkey, 8:30 Eastern. That's game two at the FIBA World Cup in China. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. We appreciate that. So how did the draft go yesterday?
We want to do this now video? Or you want to do it on this side of the break?
No, it's doing, you want to do it now? I was stunned. I ended up with the number one overall selection. Tonight is the Taz of the Moose Fantasy football draft, right? 6 yeah. o'clock, is it, Bilotti, Mr. Yep. Commissioner?
6 o'clock, yes.
6 o'clock Eastern time tonight, right? Yep. 6 o'clock Eastern time tonight. So did you go?
Yes.
So
it was awkward.
Why was it awkward?
Because you were first, and it really upsets me because I wanted to be first. And then I said, you know what, maybe I'll be second. And then I didn't get second. Your buddy Pete Gass, that bum, he got second. Then I thought, maybe I get third. I didn't get third either. So you got first place. I got, when I say first place, first position, okay? So it was a position selection show, Moose. That's what it was that we did yesterday.
No, I understand. Okay? Draft order.
And we had video.
Posted. It was great.
But not video from the company.
No.
Which we call, back in old school Taz show, Bush League video.
It was Bush League video.
That's what we had. So, and our cameraman who works for the Atlantic 10, that's a whole other story I'll tell you off air, he was videoing it, and Andrew Wilson.
I thought it looked fabulous.
Yeah. What's that?
I thought it looked great.
I thought so.
When I went back and watched it afterwards.
Hear, for people that didn't see it on social media, a lot of people.
Yeah, let's hear.
Let's take a listen here.
Guess who's first? Nope.
Mark Moose is first.
Well, now the rest doesn't matter.
Isn't that a. Did you put a bunch of Moose names in here?
That's great.
I can't believe
it.
I can't believe I ended up with the first one.
Moose.
Biscaglia.
Pete Gass.
Oh, I love Pete Gass.
From the Mystery Posse.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me? The guy that I added. Baby Billy.
Baby Billy.
Baby Billy with the beard. Shouldn't even be in the freaking ding. Now he's third. I am pulling a name out. Another name. Mm-hmm. Pete Bilotti was fourth. It's two people I really don't like. It's Moose and Pete Gass. Pete Bilotti, you bum. Oh, God, it's not me. What did you do here, bro? Mikey B? I gotta be next, Andrew.
You're probably not.
Oh, no, I'm next.
Six.
How anticlimactic. You know what the problem is with this? Because when you're six, dude, you suck behind me, Bo.
All right. Number seven.
You happy with seven?
Nope. And Heller.
You said Heller?
Yeah.
It's Heller right there.
Number eight.
All right, so Heller is seventh. All right.
No, Heller is eight. I'm seven.
Okay, relax. I'm just testing. Eli German. So this is a fan.
As a stranger.
Yes, this is a stranger. No, it's called, this is called a, what do you call it?
A mark?
A civilian.
A civilian, okay.
Makes sense, what that is.
There you go. Very nice. Well done.
Listen. Congratulations, Moose. Tonight you have the first.
Pressure's on.
Then we discussed, Andrew and I, we almost did a full segment of who you would pick first. But it didn't. It only went like 30 seconds. We thought we can get.
Well, because
like
you stunned the world by saying you would take Mahomes at number one, but you wouldn't take him at number six. Which
that's right.
Still makes no sense to me. But
well, hold on.
To each his own.
Well, I want
to
mention that to my co-host, my partner here, that Moose. I think tonight that's what you should do. And I said on the air yesterday, I know you're a big believer in Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, he's great.
You're a big fan of his. I know that. He's a guy that's going to get you points, not just in the air with his feet. I think you tonight in the Taz Moose fantasy draft, you should pick him first. That not Barkley, none of these other pick. You pick Mahomes first, Moose. That's the move, sir.
So, but it,
you don't think so?
I'm not divulging who I'm going with.
Oh, come on, you're going first. No one can. No one's going to top you.
I understand that.
Who are you going to pick? Barkley, right? Don't be like everybody else and just everybody going to pick Barkley first in all their drafts. Don't be like everyone else.
What? Don't pick the best player in fantasy football.
No, don't pick. It's Mahomes is the guy for you. I'm telling you.
No, there's depth at the quarterback spot. Well, why don't you make an offer to trade up, swap, go from 6-1?
Oh, ooh. Look at Moose. Always looking to make a little deal. That's what I like about the Moose.
Why don't you have the number one overall pick? You want to take Pat? You wouldn't take Pat Mahomes either.
Well, I don't.
You would never do it.
I'm not sure.
You would never do it. You take Saquon Barkley. I know you would. So what would you? Or would you go Christian McCaffrey?
No, that I wouldn't do, and I you should do that. I think
would you go Alvin Kamara?
No, it's Devin Singletary. We know the pick.
Oh, he's going to be a hell of a back for the Bills. He's not going to be a star.
So, what would you offer for go from 6-1?
Well, what are you going to give me?
First pick.
What? I was like, what kind of negotiations is this?
I'm just trying here. What would you?
Well, think about it.
You got me by the.
Think
you know what?
No, I'm in the position. I have the number one overall pick. Now I have to throw out what it would take. No, I'm not doing that.
Give me a hint.
No, you have to think about what you would be willing to give up for the number one overall pick.
You want like another pick?
No, you don't
have
any players.
I have nothing. I have nothing.
What about Bilotti's love?
Yes.
You want that?
Yeah, no.
Not on the trade block.
Six pick. Oh.
Yes. How about a cigar?
Not on the waiver wire.
A cigar, yeah, for a guy who doesn't smoke cigars.
Oh, how about I'll get you the code to download Basketball Drive for free. Inside code.
Mike, there's your plug for the day.
I
know a guy.
Right, you can put the check mark in the car.
I mean, what am I going to give you? You're Mark Malusis, you know, you're a top guy.
It's all to do with the draft.
I'm not
looking for meals. I'm not looking for anything.
No, but
do with the PW draft. Insider login.
Well, commissioner. Yeah, right. No, I'll pass. Thank you. I'll pass on that one. What was Bilotti? What do you think a fair offer would be?
For the number one?
Yeah, you make all kinds of trades.
No, I don't like this.
What do you think a fair offer would be?
I just told the guy I hate him.
No, hold on. Let Bilotti go.
Yeah.
The first round pick.
Six overall.
At least either a second or a third.
Whoa.
And then a later pick.
Oh, I have five guys on my team? What am I going to have?
It's just the price of trading up. It's a prime spot.
Why don't I talk to Pete Gaskett at the second spot?
Oh, you could do that.
How about that? Pete Gass, another guy like you, very negotiable guy.
But he a second or a third and a later round pick. And your sixth overall.
Well, I didn't agree to that. So just
I'm not saying you agree to that, but that's probably around the value.
I'd agree.
Wow.
It's around the value.
I do a first and a third for number two.
Yeah, you know.
Where are you picking?
He's seven.
Seven.
He's right behind me. Yeah, exactly.
First and a third for yeah.
Yeah, you wanted it on camera. We did it because you and I let Andrew notice you didn't trust me or him.
I did not.
So you
was fair.
Why do we keep going? He got the first pick. The jig was up.
I picked the first.
I'm
picked
stunned.
You. He's like,
when
why?
Bogus, just stop. Bogus sent the list. I was like, what?
Oh,
I was expecting to pick 11.
This is funny. No one knows this. This is funny. Ready to hear this, dude? Okay, I get out of the studio. I am in a post production meeting. No lie. Yesterday at 9:04 a.m. You were in the meeting, Andrew.
Yeah,
you know.
No, I remember.
9:04 a.m. And I get a text. Do you have the list? It's Bilotti.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me, dude? Yeah.
I like queso.
I just got off the air, bro.
Thanks.
I
for
knew
listening.
You were in a meeting, so I knew you would have it. Let it on your hand.
True.
On your hand.
That's true.
Well, not just that. The way to listen to the show.
I mean, he's all over me. He's like, do you have it? Do you have the list? Yeah. Thank you, Moose. That's a very good point.
Well, you did it on the air. Well, you did it all
for the whole 9-minute segment.
Right.
And then recapped it later.
I woke up, had green tea, and I asked you for the list.
He did. It's like, do you have the list? I'm like, I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, the only one person who texted me that early is my wife.
I can't believe it. Number one overall tonight.
Oh, there he is. Well, congratulations. And you know what?
At least the thing I'm most excited about is that I can actually do the draft.
Hmm. Yeah. That's great. We're looking forward to having you. I liked it better when you did auto draft for my own at college.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, so now you got the... So now, honestly, Moose, your opinion about the sixth spot. It's a horrible spot, right? You've done more drafts than me.
No, it's not a horrible spot. You're going to be coming around. You're going to be very active. There's no downtime.
That's what Andrew said. You know,
it's going to be very active, no downtime. It's not terrible. You have to assess where everyone goes early and then pick from the strength.
You know me. I'm great at assessing. So here's the thing, right? Would you rather be sixth or last in a draft? Because then you circle back-to-back Jones. You know?
I'd probably rather be sixth.
Really?
I'd want to have a higher... Yeah, I'd rather be sixth.
Yeah.
Instead of getting back-to-back picks, you two?
I don't want to pick 12 and 13 and then wait until whatever that...
A whole bunch of picks.
Through two rounds, basically, to come back to me. I'd rather go... it's the same interval. Yeah. It's every six or seven picks.
You know, why am I asking you guys? Let me ask the winner of last year's Taz and Moose Fantasy Draft.
The winner of this year's.
The sixth, definitely. Really?
Pete won.
You got to be in the middle. Lane.
There you go. Why does everybody always think Pete's going to win? And then he does.
Because
he rigs it. He rigs it.
Yeah,
right?
That's what we
it's
think.
It's all the work.
Right. He does. I don't know how, but he does.
He works the whole thing. Pete,
he is he playing us off right now?
Yeah, he is.
I just work hard.
Oh, my God. I want to just kick his ass. Swear to God.
Is that a standing offer, Bogus, to Pete Gass? You offer the third and the number two.
If I was at number two, I would consider that. And I think that would be my offer if I wanted to make one, but I'm fine where I am.
Okay.
Yes. This is going to be epic tonight, guys.
I'm so
excited to talk to you guys tonight.
Number one overall. I have the pick of the litter.
Thanks for hosting tonight, too, Tess. We appreciate it. Excited to see the compound.
I can't wait.
Moose is
number
just
one
so
overall
happy.
Pick. I am. I'm excited.
I would love to.
I get to get the pick of the litter.
And you're going to do what everybody knows. Barkley. Don't be like everybody else, Moose. Mahomes is your guy.
I'm not divulging where I'm going. Keep everyone on their toes.
All right.
Taz of the Moose, CBS Sports.
Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. The Player of the Week is brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. This week it's Adam Wainwright. Wainwright fired seven shutout innings to carry the Cardinals past the Giants 3-1 out in St. Louis. The Player of the Week was brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. Quickly here, Taz, we were talking a little bit about the Seahawks and the impact of the Clowney deal. I mean, there were a couple years ago, people were kind of writing, even with Russell Wilson a quarterback, writing Seattle off in terms of maybe their window is closed. And I'm not telling you that they're going to win a Super Bowl this year, but they've done a nice job. I mean, with the losses, to that secondary, that storied secondary, right?
Yeah.
Whether it be to career-ending injury or whether it be to free agency, and some guys along that defensive front, they've done a nice job of rebuilding and revamping that defense and reestablishing themselves once again. And Carroll's a hell of a head coach.
He sure is, man. He's a motivator. You saw it. I mean, especially he really jumped out when he was at USC, obviously, but. You know, he's just a high energy guy. I mean, at his age, I mean, he's the oldest
head coach in the NFL,
and he doesn't look it.
Is he still now with Fangio? I think he is. Yeah,
really. So yeah, he's got that energy. Think too, though. You got Brian Schottenheimer as the offensive coordinator, but as far as the defense coordinator, you got Ken Norton Jr. there. Okay, so Ken Norton Jr. was just a hell of a defense player, hell of a linebacker all his years with the Cowboys. So Ken Norton Jr. You know what I mean? This guy's bringing the wood, man. He's building that defense up along with Carroll. So you got to give Ken Norton Jr. a lot of credit, too, as the DC there.
No doubt. So Seattle gets aggressive, and they get a big-time player in Clown, Inc., and Jadeveon Clowney, who I would imagine, Taz, his sack numbers are going to go up and up and up out there in Seattle, going out there and getting after the quarterback. It's Taz of the Moose. We'll come back. We'll talk a little college football. We'll do that next right here on this Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.